Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Protests can take many forms, from individual statement to mass demonstrations. Protests make a statement or a gesture in objection to something, or the protests may be a counter-protest, demonstrating their support for the person, policy, action being protested. This hour, Sale High School students talk protests and activism. Joining me here at the round table, I welcome four dynamic young women. Madeline Christian. Madeline is in the 10th grade, and she's into psychology and writing and politics and history and music.
Hi, I'm Madeline Christian.
Glad to have you. Hannah Biggs. Hannah is in the 11th grade. Music, political science, leadership are her thing.
Thank you.
Okay. Dea Kasi. Dea is in the 12th grade, so she's going to be leaving sociology, social work, music, and politics.
Hi, I'm Dea.
Okay. And Dea, you're going to be graduating. Oh, so where are you going to be leaving the area? Do you know what you're going to be doing?
I'm going to be studying social work, and I hope to either attend FSU, FAMU, Nova Southeastern University, or Northern Arizona University, Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay. Oh, that sounds good. And last but not least, Mecca Thornton. Mecca is a senior. She's into science, math, engineering, and tech. She's into all the STEM things. And Mecca is going to get her AA and TCC, and then she'll be continuing on at FAMU, and chemical engineering is her goal.
I'd just like to thank Marilyn Griffith and Caitlin Starkey for this amazing opportunity, and you as well.
Oh, I'm just glad to have all of you. Just excited to hear, you know, your perspectives, your take on this. My first question to you is, why did you choose this particular topic? I mean, there are a number of topics that you could sign up for, but what was it that gripped you, that made you say, ooh, I want to sign up for protests and activism? And I'll start with you, Mecca, and we'll just go right around.
Well, as a girl and as a Black person, protests are a huge part of my history. Protests have helped me achieve many, many things that I have right now. The right to vote, the right to walk, the right to talk, the right to exist. I rode the bus here. I didn't have to sit in the back, no, did I?
Okay. So. Well, let's hope not at this time. Of course, we never can tell these days, you know? It's going kind of backwards. Yes, ma'am.
For me, I want to be a part of this because you'd think protests would be, like, welcomed right now, mm-hmm. and I feel like it isn't. And it's just such a turning point because it always has been, or, like, it should be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important thing that should have a better case for itself, I guess, almost.
Right. Well, yeah, I feel you. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
What I hear you saying, and you tell me if I'm incorrect, is that you feel like protests should be at the forefront and there should be no negativity, no fallout that you think of from it. And you're seeing it being really just the opposite.
Yeah.
Dea.
For me, activism, more specifically protest, are really important, especially for the field of work that I would like to go into. Nothing really ever changes unless the people decide that it needs to, and protests are one of the ways that people show that that's what they'd like to have happen.
Have any of you ever participated in a protest?
Yes.
And if so, share your experience. Tell us what it was like. And what, again, why did you decide to participate?
I participated in the Women's March when Donald Trump was elected. And I also participated in the most recent one, at least for our age, was the gun rights after the Parkland shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the high schools in Leon County, the kids who wanted to participate, they had buses from the school go to the Capitol and protest. So I was a part of that.
Why did you want to participate? I mean, what was it?
Well, that was protesting, you know, how we don't really have enough gun
restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to be a part of it because I agree. And I think more people, more numbers will have get the change that they want, you know. And it's important for young people to be active. And that was like, that protest was big because it was welcoming and like young people.
Okay. All right. Madeline? Well, I didn't know whether you wanted to respond to why you wanted to participate, what you found. You know, what I just want to know from you is, what was it about the topic that made you go, I think I'd like to participate in that, okay? And then the other question that I had posed was, have you ever been engaged? Have you ever been active in a protest?
In our current political climate in the U.S., I feel protests are an important form of citizens, no, whether they're left or right, to mm-hmm. express their opinions, political opinions. And I don't feel like – I feel that sometimes protests can devolve into violent riots. And it worries me because some people who put on those protests, I agree with. And I consider myself liberal. And when I see – like, it devolved like that, it just makes me feel honestly ashamed to call myself a liberal because I feel like we can be what leftists claim to hate, which is, like, fascism or intolerance, and I think that's why I came here today.
Okay, well, I'm certainly glad to have you and welcome your opinions. Where do you sit on all of this? I mean, what was the appeal? You've talked about that, but have you ever been in a protest or activist for any particular area?
Yes, ma'am. The same protest as Hannah. I actually did not go to school that day. My mother and I, we got breakfast, and then we walked down to the Capitol, and we didn't really do much. We chanted, we stood there, and I feel like even though the protest itself, just sitting there, standing, chanting, didn't really do much itself, it caught attention, and I feel like that was really the whole point. A while back, I went to, I think, I'm not sure how old I was. I know I was still in possibly just going into middle school, fifth grade. I went to the March to the Capitol for, it was soon after Trayvon Martin's death. His parents were there. Andrew Gillum was there. And we just went out to show our solidarity just because I was very young, and so was he. It was sort of a very rupturing moment in your childhood to have to wake up, turn on the news, and just see that some poor child had been shot in the street mm-hmm. for absolutely no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I've never participated in a protest, but I have done a few things here and there that I would consider activism.
Okay.
I've been known to advocate for those who are homeless. I live at CCYS, and I'm on the Youth Advisory Council, and I help them discuss topics and how to handle or what to do, how to help those who are homeless, especially youth, and for me, more specifically, LGBTQ+ youth.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been known to host trainings for some schools, especially transgender training.
That's great.
Teaching proper grammar, what to say, what not to say, how some transgender people are sensitive, and that's really all that I've done.
That's enough. Everything you've done is dynamic. It appears when you look around what's happening, you know, in the nation today, it appears that we have a spate of protests lately. I mean, it seems like there are a lot of them. Do you see it that way? Does it seem like the occurrence of protests have increased? Or is it just from my old eyes that I think it's increased?
From now that I'm older, it seems that they're increasing, but maybe it was just me being so young and not really being politically active a few years ago. But again, with the current political climate, people are, like, young people are feeling more impassioned about their beliefs and want to get out there and advocate for stuff they believe in and don't believe in and just get their voices out there and be heard.
Okay. Whomever.
I think that in this day and age, young people have really seen the hurt and the pain and the ignorance and intolerance from certain older generations, not all of them, obviously. But we've really been taught since we were younger that the only way things will change is if we go out there and do something about it. And oftentimes young people have been challenged by older people saying, oh, you're not going to get out there, you're not going to do anything. And we have a strong opinion, and so most of us, many of us, a lot of us, go out and we do try to change what we can.
And all of you hopefully will be voting, and that's very important. I think that is very significant, okay? Yeah. You want to elaborate on
that? Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, to that, I canvassed for Andrew Gillum, which is you go door – I went with the, like, on behalf of the Democratic, like, Florida Democrat Party with a few of my friends, and we went door-to-door being like, hey, you should go vote. And if you're going to vote, you should go vote for Andrew Gillum, you know? We went to door-to-door to register Democrats, and
how was that? How were you received?
It was fun. I mean, it was a good time. Most people we talked to, we went to an apartment complex, and most people we talked to were young college students, I think, and a lot of them were either, like, yes, or, like, I wasn't planning on voting, and then I would be like, it's really important, it's your civic duty, and not only that, but if you want change, this is how it's going to happen, you know? And, yeah,
Is that the general attitude? I mean, do you find that most of your peers are conscious, are aware, or, as they say, are woke? Okay.
Yes.
Great.
I found that most of my peers, I'm 17, I found that most of my peers, especially younger peers, like the older peers, they're pretty, as the young ones say, woke. But the people who are younger than me, I found, are far more passionate about politics and really want to see a change, more so even than people who are about 5 years older than I am. And that they're generally considered to be the most, they're considered millennials, and that means that they're considered the most liberal and want to see the most change. But I would say that people who are younger than me would like to see it even more so.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I have students from Sale High School, and we are examining protests and activism. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and this hour I have students from Sale High School. We are discussing protests and activism. Joining me here in the studio, I welcome again Mecca Thornton, Dea Cossey, Hannah Biggs, and Madeline Christian. I had to interrupt you. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to share? Yes, ma'am.
About the thing about our peers being more conscious, I definitely feel like my peers are more conscious than the previous generations. But I noticed that there is something a bit more important, an effort to be conscious, because a lot of my peers, they may understand a lot of other topics, but like topics that are personal to me. Like we're having conversations about one shooting, and the really sad part is that I can't remember which one it was.
Well, there's so many. See, that's it. You're right.
One man was shot on the highway, and I remember the exact voice of my friend saying, maybe he should have put his hands up. He did have his hands up. Maybe he shouldn't have walked towards the officer. It was said that he didn't. So I feel like there needs to definitely be more education and more effort, a constant effort, because even though we are more conscious, I feel like that's only because people have picked up on what we want and decided to give more of that to us. That doesn't mean, like, we are a generation of convenience. We take what is given to us. Mm-hmm. We don't really go out and try and get it for ourselves most of the time. So I feel like that really needs to be said.
And I appreciate you saying that, Mecca, because one of the questions I had for all of you is, where do you get your information? where, I mean, do you get it from the internet? Do you get it from each other? I mean, where does it come from? Thea.
I personally, I go out to find my information and I look at multiple sources, especially if it's about a story that is important to me, like recently with the change to transgender laws in Title IX. There was a lot of misinformation on the internet. First, I got some from the New York Times and then a little bit more from multiple other sources because I wanted to make sure that I was understanding what was actually mm-hmm. happening, which is something that a lot of people who are my age don't do.
Well, and that was my next question was, is that behavior, that research that you did, typical of all of your, you know, yeah, kids. Well, yeah, you're still kids to me. Kids your age, okay? I mean, are just you exceptional? And I just throw that out there to all of you. Where do you get your news? Go right ahead.
I would certainly not say that I'm exceptional, but it's not very common to see young people going out to find their information, but that's especially at SAIL in the atmosphere that we're in. All day, 5 days a week, mm-hmm. We're told over and over again, look again, research, see if that is true before you make your decision about certain things, especially whenever it comes to our party affiliation. But no, I would say that it's not common, but at SAIL, it is more.
So what I hear is it depends on the environment, and your environment encourages and fosters that avenue of pursuit. Other comments here from you all? If not, that's okay. That's all right. Where do you get your information from?
Well, with getting information, I feel sometimes I have relatives and friends who do this where they'll believe in one ideology and then they will only go to websites or channels who sponsor that ideology. Like mm-hmm. I have some pretty right-wing relatives who watch Fox News like 24/7 by Glenn Beck's, I believe mm-hmm. his name is, books, listen to Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And if anything else is presented to them, like that kind of contradicts it, they'll be like, no, that's not true, but no, it's not.
So and they just dismiss
yeah,
it.
And I'm not, and it's like a bubble. And I'm not just talking about the right wing. I know this can happen with the left wing, maybe something, mm-hmm. maybe
yeah,
not.
Right.
As left as they want it. And then, again, it has to do with they're just paying attention to what someone agrees with them. And if they see anything else that disagrees, they just will brush it off.
Now, where do you get your information? I mean, if you want to find out about something or mm-hmm. you're passionate about something, mm-hmm. how do you investigate it?
Again, I, like Dea, I use try to find multiple resources, mm-hmm. Like sometimes I'll see newspaper, like free newspaper, so I'll go through that. My grandma has a lot of that stuff. I'll be on the internet. I don't just go to one internet news site.
Okay.
So I'll go through all of them and read about it and make my own opinions about what's being reported as, you know, trying not to
Yeah, that's okay. You're fine. Yes, ma'am.
Something that I've found is that when I go to multiple sources, I find that depending on if it is left wing or right wing, that I find they're told somewhat differently. And that's really easy. That's one way that misinformation can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then people make the wrong choices or wrong judgments, and that is really, really difficult being in a generation that gets most of their information from the internet.
Mm.
I get most of my information from the internet, but it's not just, okay, but I think the internet is fine, but social media, I think, is where people go wrong about getting their sources, because social media is tailored to you. Like, on Facebook, that's why when people get their stuff from Facebook, Facebook knows what to show you based on what your history is on the website, you know, and as with every social media. So, but I lean more towards liberal
ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I I look at New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, C-SPAN, you know, but I look at all of them, not mm-hmm. one. I try to, I don't watch Fox News, but I try to understand. Yeah,
you need to look at where the other side is coming from.
But I do educate myself on the other side of opinions, because mm-hmm. you need to know the full picture to have a full opinion.
Right, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I do get my information from the internet. I generally try to find an unbiased source before I go ahead and make my judgments, but I do look at biased sources as well, things that go against me, things that go with me, because oftentimes if you look at a unbiased source, they may leave things out to try and sound less to one side or the other, and I've had to do that personally with mm-hmm. my own writings, and just... There are certain things that even though you want to say them, you know how they might come off. There are certain things you cannot say without seeming biased, so you have to take it somewhere else. And that's where I go to my bias sources. I look mm-hmm. at them and I see certain things that they put in there. I research them. Is this actually true? I go to sources that are against me. Sometimes for certain topics I don't, because for certain topics they are so cookie cutter and common that you already know what you're going to see. Of course, I still look through, skim through, but 9 times out of 10, it's the same thing.
You don't focus on that. And you all seem to be really, you know, diverse. You investigate at what I hear you saying. But do you speak, are you typical? Do you, what I'm hearing here is that you do make an effort to try to reinforce your ideas, to find out what's going on, to get another opinion. Let me just finish this. And I'm trying to determine if I'm just speaking to the choir, or does everybody, or generally, you know, I know everybody is too broad, but do a lot of your peers take it to the degree that you do? Because I hear you saying you go to the internet, you read the New York Times, you do this, you do. I mean, are y'all typical? That's what I wanted to know. You had your hand up, and we'll go right around the table.
No.
Okay.
I just recently came to Tallahassee, and I was in a much smaller, more rural community, and mm-hmm. they never, ever went out of their way to find out information from the opposing side, which, of course, was more liberal. But since I've come to Tallahassee, I've found that more young people are looking to educate themselves as much as they can before they make their final decision, before they make their judgment. And in Tallahassee, I would say that we are common kids. But for all of America, for all of Florida, for the Big Bend, no.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments?
I would say, well, coming from an upper middle class family and like his past childhood, and I've been around a lot of people who are like minded, but I kind of felt like on the outside of that, as I was like, my middle and elementary school were very richer conservative mm-hmm. families, and my parents are very liberal, so they've taught me to be a critical thinker, and I feel like at least the kids I've been around aren't as involved or as critical thinkers, you know. Mm-hmm. But like as I've gotten older, I see more of it, but it's probably because I surround myself with people like that. So it's hard for me to see like outside of what my normal is mm-hmm. because my friend group are critical. They're critical thinkers. I mean, but the kids I see in other groups, I feel like aren't. It's not as common for a teenager to be super.
Okay. And that's what I was trying to find out.
Yeah,
any other comments, anything you all want to add?
I would not say that this is at all typical,
okay.
especially of a strong environment like ours, where a lot of people have their opinions. And it's just, I feel like personally with those people who are from the generation before me in my family, they have been through a lot of things that they hear something and they have a judgment that they have already had. Their experiences were very strong. Mm-hmm. I personally have no excuse. I have not been through experiences I feel have been strong enough to take my opinion, hear one word, and shift it. And my grandparents, my older generations, I guess mm-hmm. my ancestors, have not done that either. But they do definitely have a strict sort of tunnel vision to certain things. And they are very liberal thinking. They can shift that view. They can shift that thought. But once there are certain things said, it's hard to take them back.
Okay. Democracy. Let's talk a little bit about democracy if we're talking about protests and activism. And what are the components of democracy for you? How would you define it? Yes, ma'am.
I would think of it as people who not necessarily agree but can talk, you know? And I feel like right now that's not happening. And
anticipated my next question because I was going to ask you, is America or the United States a democracy?
So actually, I have a good answer for that one. I take sociology at TCC. My professor is an FSU professor. He's great. Shout out to Ben. he talks a lot about how there was a study recently that proves that the United States is an oligarchy and not a democracy. Huh. And but they proved that because they looked at Supreme Court cases and I think like just general federal court cases about how and bills and everything that like things that passed were things that the richer people wanted to pass. And no matter what the actual opinion is, if you look at what's on paper, the things that get passed are the things that the richer people wanted to get passed and the minority. So, I mean, if you look at it, it's not a democracy. It's people want it to be a democracy, and it's set up to be a democracy, but over time it's changed into an oligarchy, which is kind of what it was in the first place, if you look back, but that's sociology and stuff.
Okay.
Democracy, it's imperative that both sides, both parties, if you will, especially like specifically to America, both parties, that they communicate. And what I've seen is that most of the communication that happens is usually cut downs or no, you're wrong arguments, if you will. And in my opinion, a democracy wouldn't be so much argumentative as much as it would be understanding. And I've also recognized the oligarchy aspect of it that Hannah was just talking about. And that is why, to me, America is not a democracy.
Yes.
I think freedom of speech and, ability to cooperate with others who share opposing opinions is important. You know, freedom of speech, if you can't express your opinion, how are you going to be represented? And which seems, cooperating, this seems to be a problem right now since it seems to be this winner-take-all mentality, especially with the government right now, where even if you disagree with it a little, you got to oppose it because, my party says this or something like that. So I kind of agree with Hannah when she said it was an oligarchy, with the rich basically being represented and,
okay.
I personally believe in freedom within means. As in, you can do what you want and be who you want to be, but the moment you start dangerously imposing on somebody else, that is when you need to be, I guess you could say, cut down. For example, Nazis, they should not have freedom of speech. They should not be free to go out and harass Jewish people and Jewish families. White nationalists should not be free to go out and harass brown people and black people. They should not have that freedom. They should not have the freedom of action, and I don't believe they should have the freedom of speech because speech may only be words, but those words are very empowering. Okay. Protests will show you that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I disagree. I agree they shouldn't be able to harass anybody, and I despise Nazis. But if you just start taking away people's, freedom of speech because you find it offensive, which it is, it's horrible to say, like, harass people and Jews, but everybody's going to be like, this person offended me when it's not considered, I guess, what we would consider offensive.
Where do you draw the line of demarcation is what I hear you
saying. That's why I don't like to toss around the word offensive or, like, I don't like to toss around big words, like, that's racist when it was something maybe not intentional, like.
But it could be racist and not intentional.
Yes, of course, but. Yeah. I don't like it when people, especially as a joke, throw around big words like that. It's kind of hard for me to explain. But
no, I think you're doing a good job. Did you have comments? I didn't know. I thought maybe you had some.
Yeah, I don't know. The oligarchy thing is true. I disagreed with Becca about the freedom of speech as well because, like, I don't agree with people harassing people.
Well, I was going to say, how do you define harassment?
Well, because yeah, I mean, verbal harassment, I don't know. It's hard to tell someone to stop or I don't know, make it a restriction on them for saying what they want to. You might not agree with it. But it, I guess to when it's like actual danger, like when it's not just words anymore, maybe, or someone's life's in danger, or if they can't get out of the situation.
Or if you're inciting
yeah,
violence.
That's another
example.
And if the person like can't get out of it, you know, if it's being forced on them, I guess, like if, mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe that, if they can't get out of the verbal abuse almost, or what's being the harassment, then that would be a problem. Not even if it was just danger, but if they can't escape it. And like, I don't know, it's important to be able to understand both sides. I just read an article about that on how on college campuses, like their own government. And when people on college campuses have a speech, how a while ago, I can't remember when it was, but someone who was a conservative speaker came to talk about, like, white supremacists, kind mm-hmm. of, and they were pretty much, like, shut down. The college was like, no, you can't do that, and I...
So do you think they should have been able to do it?
I think that they should have been able to talk. The reason it was shut down, I think, was because it turned into, like, a riot, which no one wants that. I'm not supporting that. I'm not supporting white supremacists, but I'm just saying, like, they should be able to talk, I guess. I don't know. It's not good.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are going to continue our discussion on protests and activism. Dea, you had something you wanted to say, and I know you didn't get to it, so now you're in the hot seat. You can say whatever.
Yes, ma'am. I also slightly disagree with what Mecca said, but I feel like we can tie this back to the conversation. Whenever we're discussing democracy, I feel like the line that we can draw is whenever someone is being harassed. Not only that, whenever you're able to communicate that it's not okay, and since everyone generally can agree on what's absolutely not okay, then even though, yes, you have the freedom of speech, it's hurtful to be racist or sexist or transphobic, homophobic, anything like that, especially whenever it's based in ignorance, then...
And it's usually all based in ignorance.
It's usually
exactly.
Always based in ignorance.
Then we can agree, or I feel like people should be able to agree, regardless of their party, that it's unacceptable and therefore have a rule, law, whatever you want to call it, passed, then that's, like, I feel like that's where we should put the limitation.
I want to throw something out there. I'm trying to think how to pose it. Being a member of a minority, I don't care whether you like me or not, okay? I don't care what you call me, okay? I mean, not really, okay? So you can say what you want. There are different, I guess, lines of demarcation. I mean, if you start touching me, that's a problem. But calling me names, and I was in school in the 70s, 80s. You know, we were protesting the Vietnam War and all of that, civil rights. And I'm just saying that I don't know that what you say, I don't know about limiting what someone says. You know, of course, you can always say, you can say whatever you want, just don't say too much, okay? And that, you know, that kind of, but I'm just throwing that out there when we talk about protests and activism, because I'm just trying to respond. Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
About what I said before, freedom of speech. You must get me wrong. I don't mean I'm going to come into your house and stop you from speaking.
Oh, no.
I don't mean I'm going to disable your computer.
No,
we're good. I didn't get that feeling.
When I say you should not be able to speak, I mean everything starts with somebody, correct? Mm-hmm. Your violent speeches, your rallies, even if you, as a person who doesn't agree with them, see them as nobody would believe that. Everybody thought that. Everybody thinks that about everything. With every great rise, there is always a group of people who disagree.
Oh, yeah.
It's different to disagree than it is to do something. And if people are just saying, nobody would believe in that, then they're really just dismissing the fact that we don't have ourselves to consider when there is somebody else on the line. Like, I am black. If somebody was just in the middle of, like, Tallahassee Mall, like, oh, these Latinos need to get out of here, like, no, you cannot do that. I personally believe that should not just be allowed. Mm-hmm. Like, so, okay. Yes, I do believe on limits of speech. I guess that is...
Okay.
It's right. Harsh, but... Yeah.
What role do you think public protests play in a democratic society? Do you think that protests, in other words, you know, are they effective? Are they ineffective? Do they incite riots? What do they do? What a public, yeah.
I've heard that from older people in my life. I've heard that protests simply don't work, but I found that they do. At the very least, they force the people who are in power to look at, understand the perspective of, and try to deal with or handle what the protest is about. So with gun rights, per se, when the young people came out, whenever everyone came out and was like, okay, we need to have more restrictions on who can buy a gun, who can't, why, the government automatically tried to shut it down and say, absolutely not. Everyone has the right to bear arms, which is true, but... the right to bear arms was meant for Americans if the government ever became what, in my opinion, it's headed towards. right now, with it being an oligarchy, it was meant for the young people to have their weapons. And when I say young people, I mean the people who disagree with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Have their weapons and use them against the government in order to establish what, in that generation, America should be. Which is why it was such a big issue. But it forced them to look at, okay, should we put more restrictions on gun rights? Should we not? And, of course, the government didn't want to, but now they're seriously considering what they're going to do in the future.
Yes, ma'am.
I think protests are super important to our country because, like, that's how we became a country.
Okay.
And, I mean, our country is very young, so change happens a lot, like, over time. And I think it may seem like protests don't work because it doesn't happen right away. And that's not going to happen right away because nothing happens right away in a government, you know, especially ours being the youngest, like, in the world, you know. Nothing's going to happen super fast for us. We're still touching our feet to the water, or you know, and, like, I think the biggest part, like Dea said, is it starts a conversation about whatever is being protested, and that's the biggest thing you can do is just show people, like, hey, we all believe this. It's not what you believe, but we wanted to tell you that, you know, you're not the only one, or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And, you know, after the Parkland shooting, after that protest, the government saw that, and they were like, oh, wow. And it got national attention. Not only did people, like... Not only did the government, like, respond possibly in a negative way, it showed other people, like, their government responded in a negative way, kind of, you know? Like, it showed people what our response was and be like, that needs to change, too, you know? I don't know. It shows, like, all the layers of it. When one protest happens, it has a snowball effect that can take a long time, possibly, but things happen from it. I mean, everyone knows how Rick Scott and our government responded to that, and that's, you know.
Yeah. Of course, there are other variables that influence how they respond.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not just...
an election year or
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
Okay, am I running for office? Mm-hmm. Those all do play into it, you know?
Yeah.
They have a lot to do with it. Do you think... Well, what role does nonviolence play Is nonviolence the best way to go? Let me go with her and I'll come back.
I believe so, because when you turn to violence to get your point across, people who oppose you will use that as fuel to show people who are on the fence, be like, oh, see how violent they are? I mean, there will always, I feel, be a majority of people who go the nonviolent route, but still that little, like, vocal minority will always be a way for people who oppose you to, you know, just kind of try to, I guess, stop you or put your fire out.
What do you think about nonviolence?
Nonviolence.
If you want me to come back, I'll come back.
No, I have just some stuff to say and I need to figure out how to narrow that. But nonviolence, personally, I believe that nonviolence, it has its limit. You can try and have nonviolent protest all you want. You can walk out and say that you're not going to do anything, you're not going to fight back. But self-defense is very important to me personally. Mm-hmm. There was a protest a while ago. I forgot which one it was, but the people were tear gassed in the crowd. They had to break into a McDonald's, get milk, and pour it on their eyes to relieve the pain. And tear gas that's military training. And some of the best will tell you it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They almost did not make it through. And I don't feel like that should be used on normal people. I feel like we should be prepared to an extent to fight back, to grab our masks, to shield our eyes. And I personally believe, like, the Black Panther Party, you could say they were nonviolent, and they weren't violent. They were prepared. They were defensive because they knew what happened to Black people. The Black Panther Party used to follow police cars that would trace Black people with their guns in the car. So it's not more about going out and finding somebody and just killing them or hurting them. It's more about being prepared for when they hurt you because...
Okay. All right. You had...
I absolutely agree with her whenever she says that as Americans, we must be prepared to, I'm going to say, get our point across, fight for what we believe in, if you will, because that's exactly what America was founded upon, which is, no, we disagree with our current government, and we're going to make a new government, and we're going to fight for that. Which is sometimes, like, we weren't there, so sometimes it can get lost. Sometimes people don't understand, like, the extent or, like, the real power that came with that. And oftentimes it's seen as, no, we don't have to do that anymore. We're more civilized. We're established. But whenever it becomes corrupted, whenever the government becomes dystopian, if you will, then citizens should be prepared to fight back.
Okay. Civil disobedience. It's a form of protest in which the people refuse to comply with unjust policies and unjust laws. I mean, for example, you may be fighting for equality and you're sitting at the lunch counters where there are laws that say you aren't allowed to sit at that lunch counter. Or like you say, you didn't have to ride in the back of the bus. But there were laws that said you had to ride in the back of the bus. And sit-ins and boycotts were very effective. That's an example when we talk about civil disobedience and you know, defying the law. And I think that's what you were kind of alluding to, okay? Do you think that modern-day protesters, and we're talking about United States protesters, fear government backlash?
I think that the American people do give the government way too much power. So, yes, I do think that American citizens generally fear the government more than they believe that they're being represented, or they feel like this is my way to communicate with America, which is why a lot of people don't vote, which is because they just feel like, oh, I'm just one in literally a million, and then half of Florida just doesn't vote. Yes, I would say that most Americans fear the government more than...
Yes, ma'am.
It's hard to say, like, any of this because it's... Or answering any questions because we're all very like-minded. So it's hard because I wish we had someone here that didn't agree with us right. that could actually talk about, like, both sides because then I could actually talk about it. Because, like, I've met kids... I'm in Youth Leadership Tallahassee, which is, like, a Chamber of Commerce thing. Mm. And there are a lot of kids in that group that I don't agree with. And we have, like... It's hard to answer without fully understanding the other side, I guess. I don't really know. But I feel like at least my friends and people I see and try myself with aren't, I don't know if they're afraid of backlash, but they're not expecting to be, you know, welcomed, or they're not expecting to be like, yes, of course. Oh, thank you for telling us. You know, like the government's not gonna appreciate it. I feel like, I don't know. It's hard.
I feel like the fear of the government, there are many different levels to it because, as there always is, there people are different. You have white men, you have white women, you have white trans men, you have white trans women, you have white gay men, you have white gay women, and then you have all of that for every single other type mm-hmm. of race and religion and person there is. So the fear definitely gets to levels. I've seen the Women's March. That's broadcasted on national television every single time it happens. Excuse me if I misspeak. I don't really have enough or have a lot of knowledge about this. Mm-hmm. But I've seen just these crowds full of white people just marching and really believing in what they're saying. And I've seen the same thing for black people. And I've also seen SWAT teams head toward them, fully prepared to kill someone. And...
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the government fear, definitely there's levels to it.
So, and it just depends on the person. Yes.
I would say this is a question for both Mecca and Hannah.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that that's exactly what the government wants, is some level of fear in the American people, which is where the dystopian portion or look on America comes in? Especially with the example of when they came in with tear gas to break up this protest. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They wanted to break up the protest, but while doing that, they caused fear and hurt and pain and distrust, and we don't know how long that's going to last. But I kind of see the same thing happening, where people don't want to do things that they believe, even if it's not just something that they believe, they just do things, and they get arrested for it. And people are now fearing getting arrested because bad things happen in the prison system. People get murdered, people are raped and hurt, and I do believe that many of government officials do want to have some level of fear input into the American people.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I agree, because there has to be a level of obedience or else everyone would not listen. There's a reason that there are societal norms. There's a reason that there are social constructs. It's for, you know, control. I mean, we talk about that all the time in sociology, about, like, sociology is all about, like, why things are the way they are, pretty much, at least in my perspective of it. And, like, that's the whole thing, is, like, I mean... Things were always, I don't know how to describe this, but like my own personal belief is like things were always set up to lead to like how it is today. I mean, like, it's not new. There were enlightenments and dark ages, you know, and we're heading toward dark age, and like the government knows that.
Oh, honey.
So, I mean, they know what's up. They know what's up.
Yeah.
To answer your question, yes, I definitely do feel like that fear is part of what keeps us down. But also about that fear, I feel like if a army or a SWAT team was to come in to a protest full of white people and start throwing tear gas and shooting rubber bullets, I feel like that would definitely be a high lack of preparation. Black people go en masse to protest. They already know there's a probability something might happen. There is a fear, there is a level, but that is pre-accepted because we already know who we are and our place in society as perceived by others.
And we are out of time. So that means that you all will, yeah, it flies. That means that you all will have to come back. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen.
Thanks so much for your time and your ear, and Madeline Christian, Hannah Biggs, Dad Cossey, Mecca Thornton. All students from Salem High School, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.